Today's shiur is Masech Nedarim Daf Lamed Vav, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Vav Amar Aleph, the first words, Masev Rav Shimi Bar Abba. As we had discussed in the previous shiur, our Gemara is focusing on a question. Kahanim, the Kahanim that do the avoid in the base of Migdash, Shluchei de Don, or Shluchei de Rachmana Ninhu. How do we view their role? Are they Shluchei de Don, the Shlichim of us? One is sending a carbon to the base of Migdash. The Kahanim who do the Avoida, are they Shluchei de Don, the Shliach of the person who sent the carbon? Or Shluchei de Rachmana, are they appointed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? They're not acting as our Shlichim. And as the Gemara said in the previous shiur, in a situation of mechusrei kapara, as we know, karbanos could fall into two very broad categories. One category is a person is mechuyev, is obligated to bring a karban, chatos, osham, oilo, shlomim, or a person donates a karban. That's the general category of karbanos. Another category of karbanos, as we discussed in the previous shiur, are mechusrei kapara. The Torah requires that a carbon be brought, because without and until the carbon is brought, the person may not eat kachim, the person may not enter the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara said that certainly in the situation where one is bringing a carbon because he mechusri kapara, his consent is really not required, and the Kohanim will therefore certainly be considered Shluchei de Rachmana. Says the Gemara, Masir Rav Simi Bar Abba. The Gemara says that, the Gemara is suggesting, how can we say that Kohanim are Shluchei de Don? Ima Yukoyin, the Brisa says that if I made a neder, that I'm not allowed to have a benefit from a specific Koyin, the Aloch is, the Kohen may still bring a Karban Chatos on my behalf, and he may bring a Karban Hashem on my behalf. Now the Gemara is learning at this point that we're referring to a regular Karban Chatos or Karban Hashem, not a situation of Mechusri Kapara. Yet the Gemara is saying that a Kohen who I may not benefit from may still bring these karbanos on my behalf. Clearly, the reason is because Kohanim are Shlichei de Rachmana, not Shluchei de Don, and therefore it's not considered that he's working on my behalf. Ask the Ran, if the Gemara is asking a kasha from Chatas va'Osham, why did the Gemara have to ask a question from a Braisa? Our Mishnah mentioned Karban Chatos and Karban Asham, so why didn't the Gemara just ask from our Mishnah? And in fact, the Ran suggests, because of this, that maybe the Girsa that Rav Simi Bar Abba had did not include Chatos v'Asham in our Mishnah, and that's why he didn't ask from our Mishnah. But then the Ran says the following answer. He says, as we're going to see in a moment, there are situations where chatas for asham are certainly considered mechusrei kapara, the chatas and asham of a metzora. Our Gemara in the Havamina understood that the chatas for asham referred to in our Mishnah are the chatas for asham of a metzora, because they group together with the kinei zovim and the kinei zovos and the kinei yoldos, which we explained in the previous shiur, were certainly cases of mechusrei kapara. So certainly the Gemara and the Havamina knew that the chatas va'asham of our Mishnah is also an example of mechusrei kapara. But the Braisa, which only speaks about chatas va'asham, the Gemara here in the Kasha, the Gemara here in the Havamina assumes, is referring to all carbon chatos and all carbon ashams, even the ones that are not mechusrei kapara. And yet, the Braisa is telling us that a kohen who I may not benefit from may bring these karbanos on my behalf. Isn't that a clear indication that the Kohanim are Shluchi de Rachmana? Answers the Gemara, no. This price is referring to the Dam Chatosai Shamitzoira, and it's referring to the Dam Hashama Shamitzoira, the Ksiv Zois Tia Tairus Hamitzoira, Ben Gog Ben Cotton, that the carbon can be brought, whether the Mitzoira was a Godel or a cotton. They're brought because they're Mechusri Kapara. Until these kabbanas are brought, the Mitzoira can't eat kachim, the Mitzoira cannot enter the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore that's not a situation, and therefore, as we said at our introductory remarks, Mechusri Kapara, when Kayanim are bringing kabbanas, which are in the Mechusri Kapara category, there they certainly act as Shluchei D'Rachmana, because we do not need the Das, the consent, the Das of the person who the carbon is being brought for. There's Halacha Pigel. Pigel means that if the Kohen, while doing the Avodah, has a machshav of chutz l'zmanoi, of eating the carbon past the time it's allowed to be eaten, or being makrivit in the time when it may not be makriv, chutz mekoymoi, taking the carbon to where it may not be brought, the carbon becomes pigel. If one eats a carbon that's pigel, he's Rachman Tzlon Chayiv Koris. So it says in a Mishnah, in Masech Degitin, HaKohanim Shepiglu B'Migdash. If Kohanim make a carbon pigel, if they did it Mezidin, if they did it B'Mezid, Chayovim. They're obligated to compensate the owner for the carbon. They were Mazakim. They caused him damage. They disqualified his carbon. And the Rishonim say that even in a case where they did not cause financial loss, for example, where somebody designated the carbon to be a nedava, which as we learned earlier means harei zu, he designated this specific animal, and if something were to happen to this animal, he's not obligated to replace the carbon. Still, this person wanted to bring a carbon. The kayin caused them damage, and therefore he has to compensate him. But what do we say? If the Kohen made the carbon pigel b'shagig, p'turim. They don't have to compensate the owner for his loss. And as the Gemara explains in Masech Gittin, because this is not really considered a situation of hezek, of pure damage, because it's hezek she'ein anikar. It's not a noticeable, it's not a discernible hezek. The animal looks the same, the carbon looks the same before and after it's pigel. However, Ella Shepigulam Pigel. Even though the Kohen, where he makes the, if he makes the carbon pigel b'shoigig, he doesn't have to compensate the owner for what he did, the carbon is still pigel. Ask the Gemara, Iyam b'shlama, if we're going to say shluchid ishmaya hu, that the Kohanim are considered shluchid rachmana, hana shepigulam pigel. This is, we could understand that the carbon is pigel. And as the Rishonim explained, the question of the Gemara is focused on this last thing that we learned on b'shoyig, that the carbon becomes pigel even if the Kohen made it pigel b'shoyig. Eli Amr Shluchi Didon Hava, if we're going to say that the Kohen is my shliach and my pigel and pigel, why if they made the carbon pigel b'shoyig is it pigel? Leimeloi, we should be able to say shlichi shevisel esakuniv loy lafsi. You're acting as my shliach, and as the Ran explains, if the Kohen made the carbon pigel b'mezid, he obviously is acting independently. I didn't send him to be a to make karbonos pigel. I sent him to make karbonos kosher, to offer it properly. So if he brought it and made it pigel b'mezid, he obviously disconnected himself from me, and therefore he can make it pigel. But if he did it b'shayig, that means he's still acting as my shliach, if we say shluchei didon. If so, how could the Kohen go and make it pigel? And why is that effective? He's acting as my shliach, but I didn't make him a shliach to act in my favor. Or I only made him a shliach when he's going to act in my favor, and that's why the Gemara is suggesting, if we say shluchei didon, why is the pigel that the Kohen does b'shayig a pigel? Other Rishonim explain as follows, a little easier way of understanding. We could understand, they say, that if the Kohanim are Shluchei Didot, if they made it Pigel B'mezit, it should still be considered Pigel. Why? Because Chazal, the Rabbanan, made a Gzeira, that if the Kohen made a carbon Pigel B'mezit, it's going to be Pigel. But if he did it B'shoigig, and he's not really an independent contractor, he's a Shluchei Didon, so there's no reason that the carbon should be Pigel. He didn't do anything wrong, he did it B'shoigig. He was appointed to be my shliach, and he's not acting as my shliach when he makes the carbon pigel. Another way of explaining that the Rishonim say is going back to the beginning of this piece of Gemara. We could understand, explain the Rishonim, why it would be pigel if he makes a pigel b'mezid, because he's going to have to compensate the owner anyway. So it's pigel. The owner has nothing to lose. But if we say that the Kohanim are Shluchei Didon, and if they made it Pigel B'Shoyig, they don't have to compensate the owner, why should we allow the Pigel to stand? It shouldn't be Pigel. It shouldn't. If he's my Shliach, and I didn't appoint him to work in my disfavor, the Shlichus should not, his job, he didn't do his job. He's not a Shliach, and it shouldn't be a Pigel. And actually, there's a machlokes in the Mefarshim. What does the Gemara mean with this question? Does the Gemara mean to suggest that if we say Kohanim Ashluchei Didon, in the case of Shoyig, the Kohanim should not have the ability to disqualify the carbon at all? That's how the Rashb explains, that they're making it into Pigel should not really have the ability, they should not have the ability to make it Pigel B'Shoyig. Other Rishonim suggest that the Gemara doesn't mean to say that the carbon should remain qualified. Certainly, if the carbon was brought with this wrong machshava, the carbon is disqualified. What the Gemara means to say is that it shouldn't have the very serious status of pigel, which we said a moment ago, if someone, Rechmona Litzlan, eats pigel, his chayiv karis. Says the Gemara, Amri, really we could say Kohanim Ashluchi Didon. But if Kohanim Ashluchi Didon, as we just explained, why when they make the carbon pigel b'shoyig, is it effective? Why do I have the ability to do that? Shani gabi pigel. Pigel is a special din. Domikra, because the pasuk uses the words loy yechashev loy become makay. Any time they have this machshava, even if it's b'shoyig, and even if we'll suggest that the shluchei didon, still the carbon will be rendered pigel. With this, we finish the sugya of Kohanim Shluchei Didon, Shluchei D'Rachmona. Our Gemara has not really proven conclusively what the halacha is, but as we said in the previous year, the Gemara in Masechet Kedushin says that Kohanim are Shluchei D'Rachmona, the proof being because Shlichus, by definition, I cannot appoint a Shliach to do something on my behalf if I can't do it myself. Since a Yisrael can't bring a carbon, he could not appoint a Kohen to bring a carbon on his behalf, and therefore Kohanim are Shluchei D'Rachmona, not Shluchei D'Don. In fact, the Sfas Emes suggest that this question, if the Kohanim are Shluchei D'Don or Shluchei D'Rachmona, was actually the debate between Korach and Moshe. Korach came to Moshe and said, Kola Eda Kulam Kedoshim. And therefore, anybody has the ability to appoint a shliach to work on his behalf and bring the karbonis and do the avoda on his behalf, not just Shevet Levi that you, Moshe and Aaron, have appointed. Moshe and Aaron said no. Kahanim and Leviim are shluchei d'rachmona, and not the shlichim who Klal Yisrael appoint. And it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu who appointed Shevet Levi to Kohanim and Leviim to do the jobs for which they were appointed. The Mefarshim also explain that this concept of Shluchei Didon and Shluchei D'Rachmona actually represents a debate that takes place between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Klal Yisrael tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha V'Neshuva. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to open up and take the first steps in drawing us closer to Him. Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha. And we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Neshuva, after you give us and you draw us closer, we will continue becoming closer to you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael, Shuva Elai Vashuva Eleichem. You take the first steps. Shuva Elai, you take the first steps, Vashuva Eleichem, and then I will continue. Tells us the Gemara that the Kahanim, and that's the Mishaila Shluchei Dedan, should we take the first step, or Shluchei Derachmana, does HaKadosh Baruch Hu take the first step? And as we just said, the halach is Shluchei Derachmana, and therefore we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha, draw us closer to you for Neshuva, and then we will continue Be'ezer Hashem to become closer to Hashem. Gufa, as we learned in the previous shir, Om Rabbi Yochanan, Hakol Tzrichen Das, or Kabonis, when one brings a carbon, he has to recognize he's bringing a carbon. As we explained, a person is bringing a carbon because he did an Aveira, and the carbon serves to bring him a Kapara. A person is bringing a carbon because he wants to bring a Nedava to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So obviously, Das, his knowledge of what he's doing, is crucial. Chutz Michusa Kapara. As we explained, if a Chusa Kapara, the carbon is being bought for a technical reason. He should be able to eat Karbonos. He should be able to enter the Beis HaMikdash. There, Das is not required. Shrei Adam, and what was the Raya? Because we said, Adam may be carbon, Abonav Abonos V'Ketanim. Just like someone could bring a carbon for his children who are Ketanim. If one has children who became a Zov or a Zova, they don't have Das, they're Ketanim. Yet the father brings the carbon on their behalf. So the Rabbi Yochanan extrapolates from there that all Karbonos are Mechusu Kapara, are brought without the das of whom the carbon is being brought for. And as Duran explains, the basis of what Rabbi Yochanan says is because Donan Efshe Mishi Efshe, even though in the case of the Ketanim, they're unable to bring Karbonos with das, they're Ketanim. We extrapolate to a case where das is possible, Donan Efshe, where das is possible, Mishi Efshe, from where das is impassable, the kabbonis, the mechusa kapara, could be brought without das. Ask the Gemara, if so, el me'ato yovi adam chatas chelav chaveroi, then every kind of karma chatas chelav, as we've explained previously, represents the typical karma chatas that one has to bring if he did an aveir rachman tzlan. And the reason it's called chatas chelav, because the most common circumstance when one had to bring a karma chatas was if he rachmano tzlot ate chaylev, because that was what was most typically found in the house. It's the most prevalent aveira for which karma chatas was brought. Says the Gemara, if we're going to use Rabbi Yochanan's line of reasoning of donin efshir shmei efshir, she can order maybe alishta shaita, Rabbi Yehuda. Since, as we learned, Rabbi Yehuda says that a person brings a carbon for his wife when she's a shaita. Now yes, this woman can bring a carbon because unfortunately she's a shaita. But once we see that there is a circumstance that a carbon chatas can be brought without das for someone, it should teach us that in all situations a carbon chatas may be brought without das. Allah Amar Rabbi Elazar, what does Rabbi Elazar say? If I want to bring a carbon chatas on my half of my colleague, if I don't have his das, it's a meaningless act. Says the Gemara, you're assuming that a person could bring a chatas chaylev for his wife who's a shaita. Says the Gemara, that's not what Rabbi Yehuda said. When Rabbi Yehuda said in the previous year that a person could bring a carbon for his wife who's a shaita, it's only referring to carbon mechusa kapara, not to regular carbon chatas. Because ishto shaita echidami. What is the case that you want to say that a husband could bring a carbon chatas for his wife who's a shaita? Eid achol kshi shaita, if she ate the chatas, the chaylev, while she was a shaita, so labas carbon he. She's not mechoyev any carbon. She's not b'chashoyta. Eid ach kshi b'kachas, if you say that she ate it when she was not a shoyta, and then v'nishtatis, and then before bringing the carbon, she unfortunately became a shoyta. Ha'am rabbi yimri yamar rabbi vu ha'am rabbi yoychron, ach l'chaylev, that if somebody even ate chaylev, a hifish carbon, he even separated the carbon, and then v'nishtata, before actually bringing the carbon, he becomes a shoyta, and then So certainly while he's a shaita, he doesn't bring the carbon. And then the chazav and nishtafa, and then Baruch Hashem, he becomes sane again, he becomes healthy. Possible, the carbon becomes disqualified. However, nitcha yitcha, since it was disqualified while he was a shaita. So you're suggesting, says the Gemara, that one could bring a carbon chatas, chalif, for his wife who's a shaita. And therefore we should say one could bring a carbon chatas chalif for anyone without their das. Says the Gemara, that's not true. One does not bring a carbon chatas chalif for his wife who is a shaita. And the Farshim explained that even though the Gemara used here the concept of dichui, this is not really the case of dichui. The case of dichui, the Mefarshim explained, is where something happened to the animal, that it became disqualified, and then it became qualified. Here we're not talking about the animal. Here we're talking about the owner. But the Gemara is borrowing the concept of dichui. Ella, says the Gemara, a different question. Mi'ata, if we're going to say that if we find the circumstance that a carbon can be brought without das, that should teach us that that carbon can always be brought without das, then Yavi Adam Pesach al Chaveroi, a person should be able to bring carbon Pesach for someone else without his knowledge. She can't Adam Mevi Abonav al Benois Vaktanim, a person can bring a carbon Pesach for his children, even though they can't properly register on the carbon Pesach. And the halacha is, the pasuk says, "Se lebeis avos," that in order to be able to participate in a carbon pesach, one has to register in the carbon pesach. Yet, a father could bring a carbon pesach on behalf of his children who don't have the ability to register. So we see that das for carbon pesach is not required. And therefore we should be able to extrapolate that all carbon pesachs should be brought without das. Yet, Alama Omer Abelazar, Hifrish Pesach al Chaveroi, if I want to bring a Karm Pesach on behalf of my friend without his consent, Lo Yosu Klum, it's a meaningless act. Omer Abzeira, Selebes Ovislav Deraisa. And as the Ran explains the Gemara, what the Gemara is saying is, there is an obligation for Ketanim, obviously Ketanim who are already older, to eat the Karm Pesach, but the obligation for them to register on the Karm Pesach is not midaraisa, and therefore the father can register them without their das. However, someone who has the obligation to register midaraisa on the Karm Pesach, that registration cannot be done without das. That's how the Ran explains the Gemara. That means that the obligation to eat the Karm Pesach is midaraisa, the obligation for Ketanim to register is not midaraisa. Says the Gemara, we might. How do we know this? That the obligation for Ketanim, there is no obligation with the Raisa for Ketanim to register on the Karm Pesach, even though there is such an obligation for Gedolim, but it's not. We learned in the Mishnah Masechta Pesachim, Haim Labonov, if somebody tells his sons, Hareini Sheikhas a Pesach, I'm going to bring the Karm Pesach, Ami Shial Mechem Rishon Rishalayim, on behalf of the first of you, my children, who arrived to Yerushalayim. Says the Mishnah, Kivin the Shechnas Rishon Rosh Verubai, as soon as the first child enters, most of his body enters Yerushalayim, Zoch V'chalkoi, he gets a portion of the Karm Pesach, Umezakis Echav Imoi, and he also acquires a portion for the rest of his siblings. Ask the Gemara, if we're going to say the obligation to register on a Karm Pesach is the Raisa, and the Ran has two ways of explaining this Gemara. One way of explaining is that the halacha, that the registration on the Karm Pesach must be done before the Karm Pesach is actually offered. Here the Karm Pesach was offered, and only then did the son arrive in Yerushalayim. It's too late for him to register. Yet we're saying he could still participate. Another way the Ran explains, perhaps on the actual son that arrived in Yerushalayim, even though he arrived after the Karm Pesach was offered, the registration that the father made would be effective retroactively. That the father said, Bishas, the father said when he brought the Karm Pesach, that whichever son comes first, that's the son that's registered, and that would be an effective registration. But the concern is not that son that arrived. The Mishnah said, as we just read, that all the other siblings are considered registered. How are they registered? It's already after the Korban Pesach was brought. It's too late to register. It must be, because the entire requirement of registration is really not necessary, because they're ketanim. But ask the Gemara, if that's the case, that there really is no requirement for registration, because they're ketanim, what was the point in what the father told them, whoever comes first? And what was the point in the father saying this to them? Says the Gemara, his entire purpose was kedei lezarzen b'mitzvos, only to get them motivated to come quickly to Yerushalayim and participate in the Korban Pesach. And the Gemara says that's indeed the pshat in the Mishnah, because Tanya Nami Hachi, Ma'isa Hayu V'Kadma Bonus Labonim, there was a situation where the father made this statement to his children, and the girl and the daughters arrived before the sons, V'Nimtzu Bonus Zerizis, the daughters were considered Zerizim, they came quickly to do the mitzvah, or Bonim Shvelim, and the sons were the ones that came late, they were embarrassed that they came late. Now says Duran, it doesn't say that the daughters were zoicha, the sons weren't zoicha, the daughters acquired it for them. So we see that has nothing to do with acquiring, because there is no need to become registered by ketanim. It's only a factor of lezarzon b'mitzvahs. Says, I saw from the Shal Satshuvas Mishnah Halachas, he uses this Gemara to teach us that we know that the Gemara says, la'olam al-yishan adam bonav. Person should not play favorite amongst his children, because we know that Yaakov Mishkel Shnei Slom, Yaakov gave the Psoinus Pasim to Yosef, which was worth a little more than the coat that he gave to all his other children. And from that we know the terrible story where that occurred because of that, ultimately leading to Klai Yisrael to Mitzrayim. So he asks, is a teacher, is a Rebbe allowed to work with prizes, give prizes to children, to students who excel? So he says, from Algamar we see that a father is allowed to do something like this, kedei lezarzon b'mitzvahs, and it is an acceptable approach in chinuch. Tosfos has a different approach in understanding Algamar. We explain Algamar with the explanation of the Ran, who says that the children are obligated to participate in the Korban Pesach Midoraisa. The only thing that they're not obligated to do midoraisa is register on the Korban Pesach, which is an obligation on adults. Tosfos says that not only are children not obligated to register, Tosfos says they're also not obviously obligated to eat the Korban Pesach. And since they're not obligated to eat the Korban Pesach, they obviously cannot be registered on the Korban Pesach. But then the question comes up, if they're not registered and they're not obligated, how do they eat of the Korban Pesach? So one pshat is, just like we find that there are mitzvahs that women are not obligated to do, yet even though they're not obligated to do those mitzvahs, they could still participate in those mitzvahs, this will be the same. Another explanation that the Rishonim give is that it's not considered that we're giving the cotton, we're giving the child something that he's not allowed to eat, because we're giving him a Korban Pesach to which he's not registered, because since we're giving him the Korban Pesach, that he should participate in the Korban Pesach, that he should have chinuch, that there's a concept of Korban Pesach, even though we're giving him a Korban Pesach that he's not registered to, it's not considered that we're doing anything wrong. And as the Chasam Sofer explains, what Tosfos is teaching us is that for the purpose of chinuch, even though we're perhaps not doing something which is right, it's mutter. As long as we don't give the child something which is macholos asuris, we're not allowed to give something to the child which is treif, not kosher. Here we have a kosher Korban Pesach, and even though he's not registered, for the mitzvah of chinuch, we may perform and give him the Korban Pesach. Says the Chasam Sofer, based on that approach, that if we have a town, we have a city where there is no Erev, and in older times, they did not have Sidurim and Chumashim and Shul. Everybody brought their own Sidur and Chumash from home. The question is, could a child carry a Sidur, a Chumash to Shul, that he should be able to daven on Shabbos? Says the Chasam Sofer, since the purpose of carrying the Sidur is for chinuch, that the child should be able to daven in Shul, otherwise What are we bringing him to shul for? And we're not giving him something which is asur. We're giving him a siddur, even in a place where there's no Erev. According to this opinion, says the Chasam Sofer, one would be allowed to let his child carry a shul, a siddur to shul on Shabbos where there is no Erev. And the Paiskim use this concept also to explain why children are allowed to say brachas, to saying the Shem Hashem, and if they're not mechuyev to make the bracha, how could they say it? And again, because it's for the purpose of chinuch, even though there is a slight issue of the wrong thing being done here, it's still mutter. We learned in the Mishnah, v'tayrim es truma isof, that if I'm not allowed to benefit for someone, that person could still take off truma and meiser on my behalf. In words of introduction to this sugya, the Torah tells us that one can appoint a shliach to take off truma on his behalf from his own produce. However, under those circumstances where the shliach is taking off truma from my produce on my behalf, certainly he cannot do so without my express designation. However, the Gemara here refers to a situation, someone wants to take off truma on my behalf, not from my produce, from his own produce. And the question is, is my consent required or not? What's the shaila? Do we say, this person is doing me a favor, he's taking off truma for me? We have a klal, person could do a favor for me if what he's doing is for my benefit. My consent is not required, and therefore that's not required. I have the opportunity to do a mitzvah of taking off truma from my own produce. I prefer that I should be able to do the mitzvah and not someone else doing the mitzvah on my behalf, even though he's using his own produce. But clearly from our Gemara, to take truma from my produce without my permission, it's clearly obvious that that would be usur. And the Mefarshim give two explanations why. The Ktzais explains, because Zochan lo Adam Shloi Befanov says you could do a favor on my behalf, Li Adam, but not Zochan Mei Adam, to use my property, to use my produce, to do me a favor, that's not called doing me a favor, and it's not mutter. Other Achroinim have a different approach, and they explain as follows. If somebody's using his own produce for me, so he's doing me a favor, he's saving me that I have to use my own produce, Zochel Adam Shloi Befanov. But to use my produce, you didn't do me any favor. If you didn't do me any favor, you have no right to do it. And there's a very relevant nafkamina la locha lemaisa between these two approaches. The Trumas Edeshin discusses the following shaila. He says there was a woman, a Jewish woman, who prepared a dough in her home to make bread, to make challah, and she left the dough to rise, and she leaves the home, and the dough finished rising, and it's starting to turn sour, and she's not home, and she has a girl in the house, a Jewish girl, who works for her. May this Jewish girl remove challah from this dough and go bake the dough. She's not taking challah from her own dough, she's taking challah from my dough. Is it mutter or not? Truma Sadashin says, she's surely doing me a favor, because if she won't do it, the dough will just spoil. And therefore, taking the second approach as we just explained, the only reason why you can't do a favor for somebody with his own items, because that's not considered a favor. But when it is a favor, even though it's not with your property, it's with my property, you could do it. And that's what the Truma Sadashin says. The Tzais disagrees. He says, we said, Zochen li Adam, not Zochen me Adam. And to use my property without my consent, even though you're doing me a favor, is not mutter. So now the question, again, the Gemara is asking, if someone could take truma on my behalf from his own produce, without my consent. Toshma. So the Gemara attempts to bring a raya from our Mishnah. It says in our Mishnah that if someone made a neder that I may not benefit, if I made a neder, I may not benefit from you, the halacha is tarim is trumaisav, that's maisav ledatoi. You can take off trumas and maisers from me ledatoi, with my consent. Ask the Gemara. But my skin, exactly what is the case of the Mishnah? Ilema mbalakri, al balakri, that he's taking off from my produce, truma, uladato the man, and what does dato mean? Ilem uladato delay, and he's doing it with my permission, with my designation. The question is, man shav yishliach. Nobody made him into a shliach. If he did it with his own das, how could he do it? As we said at the beginning, you can't take truma from my produce without my permission. El uladato de balakri. It must be. Dato means that I gave him permission. But how could that work? Hakamahanile, you're doing me a favor. Kavet shlichuse, you're doing my shlichus by taking off truma from my produce, and I said I'm not allowed to benefit from you. Elo, it must be mishaloi lalakri. The person is taking off from his own basket on my behalf. And again, what's the word ladato mean in the Mishnah? Well, ladato the man. What does the data mean? Im lema ledata de balakri, with my permission, kamahanale. You're doing, again, if you're working with my permission, then you're my shliach. And I said I'm not allowed to benefit from you, so how can I make you a shliach? El data de dafshe. It must be a case that he's doing it with his own consent, not with my consent. And the reason he may do it is because since he's using his own produce, the halacha is that he's taking off from his own produce on behalf of me, and that's why it's mutter. Now says the Gemara, but if we're going to say that that too is not permitted, that this person can't take off from his own produce on my behalf without my permission, we still have a situation of kamahanile. Ella, it must be that ain't tzorch das. We have a raya from here that someone could take off from his own produce on behalf of me without my permission, and that's what happened here. And therefore, since I didn't designate him, it's not considered that he's my shliach. And therefore, even though I'm not allowed to benefit from him, this would be mutter. However, as to Rishonim, even if we'll say that my consent is not required for someone to take truma on behalf of me from his own produce, why is this different, asked Duran, from the situation that we learned earlier in the parak, a pereya chayvoy, if I'm not allowed to benefit from someone, can he pay my debts? That we saw it's machloikas of chanan and rabbanan, if it's permissible. So Duran says, the simplest teretz, is that at this point, we're going to have to say that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Chanan, that someone can pay off someone else's debt, someone can pay off my debts, even though I'm now I benefit from him. Another teretz that the Rishonim give is that since the value of the truma could be very little, because we know chita achas pateres as a kri, so it's not the same as perei as chayvai, and even the Rabbanon would agree that someone could take off from his own produce without the consent of the person who it's being done for. Another teretz is that since truma is mamon she'en le'tayvin, when I owe someone money, so there's a clear lender and borrower, but by truma there is no clear person who I owe the money, the truma to. There is no one specific kohen that I owe the truma to, and therefore it's not considered that he's paying off my debts. And if even the Rabbanon hold that if I may not benefit from someone, that person can't pay my debts, here he would be able to give truma on my behalf. So the Gemara is now suggesting that our mission is a proof that someone could take truma on behalf of someone else without his consent. Says the Gemara, and that's the case of the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Lo Yilmeh Shel Balakri, Abalakri. The case of our Mishnah is where this person took off truma from me, from my produce. Kramer, the question is, how could have I, that can't be done unless I appoint him as my shliach. And how could I appoint him as a shliach if I'm not allowed to benefit from him? Says the Gemara, could Amar Rava. I did not specifically designate him as a shliach. I just made a general announcement. Whoever wants to take truma can remove truma. So when would it be asur if I specifically designated him as a shliach? And I cannot specifically designate him as a shliach if I'm not allowed to have benefit from him. But if I just made this very general statement, a kala roitza litroim yava v'yitroim, that's not called a designation, and therefore he's taking truma from my produce on my behalf, and it's considered with das, and yet not considered that I'm benefiting from him. And the Ran says that the Gemara is being very specific with the terminology that I'm using, and it's using in my pointing as a shliach. Specifically, if I said this language of kala roitza litroim yava v'yitroim, that's not a full-fledged shlichus, but on the other hand, it's not considered a meaningless designation. Because the Ram says, let's say if somebody said, kol ha-shemeya koyli yitroim, whoever hears my voice should take truma on my behalf. He says, that's too much of a designation, and therefore a person who I may not benefit from, I cannot take truma on my behalf. On the other hand, says the Ran, if I just made even a weaker designation, where I said, kol ha-toireim eino mafsid, that's too weak of a designation, and would not be an effective designation, and he could not be considered a shliach. Dafka, this lashon of kol ha-roitz litroim yava v'yitroim. The Arushim, they disagree. Taisa says that even if one said the language of kol ha-shemei kol ha-yitroim, that's not considered a full-fledged designation. And Ritva says that kol ha-tayrim ein ha-mefsid would also be considered an effective designation, that even a person who I may not benefit from could take truma on my behalf, even though I didn't specifically designate him. From here we see that certainly one could take truma for someone else without his permission, and that's the basis, that's the shailah of the Gemara, and that is the basis how people could take truma on behalf of other people from their produce, even without their knowledge, because it's not a situation that's also bahanah, and therefore it's mutam. Here we have a situation where somebody is taking truma from his own produce on my behalf. Now we know that the halacha is that truma is given to the kohen. A kohen may not pay someone to be the kohen that I will give his truma to. But let's say there's Yisrael who has a son-in-law, grandchildren who are kahanim. He may ask a kohen, he may ask a person, you have to give truma, do me a favor, give it to my children, give it to my son-in-law, give it to my grandson, and pay for it, a small amount. That's called taivas hanor. So here, I'm giving truma on behalf of someone else, from my own produce. Who's the one that gets to pick which kohen will receive the truma, and be in turn entitled to receive this taivas hanor? Is it the person that's actually doing the separation, or is it the person who the separation is being done for? Mimrinan, do we say ilah peir dahaich? If not for the fruit of the person who's doing the actual separation, mimasakne kari dahu, we wouldn't have any situation. We wouldn't have a situation of truma, and therefore he should be the one to choose which kohen receives it. I did ilah kari dahu. If not for the fact that we start with this fruit that needs to be rectified by truma being taken off from it, lo haven parin da dan truma, we wouldn't have truma here. So the Gemara is suggesting that the owner of the produce is the one that has the right to choose which kohen receives the truma, even though it's not him that's giving, separating the truma. Eisei asked the Gemara from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Tairim is trumasav as maestro of ladatai. Ask the Gemara, V'yamr toivus hanor de balakri, if we're going to say, the Gemara is assuming that the Mishnah is referring to a case that the person is using his own produce to take off truma for me. Now, if we're going to say that the Taivas Hanah goes to the owner of the produce that has to be rectified, Hakam Hanalei, so if somebody's taking truma from his own produce on my behalf, but since we're learning that I get the Tovus Hanah, I'm benefiting from that person. And we said I'm not allowed to benefit from him. Al Shmami no, Tovus Hanah delay. It must be that the Tovus Hanah goes to the separator, and therefore I'm not benefiting from him. Says the Gemara, Amri Loi. It's not a proof. Mishum, the Mishnah is referring to the case of Mishabala Kri, Abala Kri. He's using my produce to take Truma. Uladatoi, how do we explain the word datoi? We just explained in a moment. Go to Balakri. I appointed him. How could I appoint him to be my shliach? I made a nether that I can't benefit from him. Says the Gemara, Bamakala Roitzaliva, Yuva Yitroi. So our Mishnah is not referring to a situation where somebody's using his own produce on behalf of me. Our Mishnah is referring to a case where he used my produce. When he used my produce, certainly I choose which kayin receives the truma. So the Gemara still has a question. What happens if somebody else uses his produce on my behalf? Who chooses the kayin? Tashma, Dom Rav Avua, Amar Rav Yochanan, Hamagdish, Moisef, Chaimish. The one, we know that if somebody is Magdish a carbon, if he redeems it, he has to add a Chaimish. Here, I was obligated to bring a carbon, but someone else was Magdish an animal on my behalf. If the owner of the carbon redeems it, he has to add a chaymish. Who's the one that adds the chaymish? Is it me, who's obligated to bring the carbon, or is it the person that designated the animal? Says Rabbi Avuham, Rabbi Yochanan, the person who designated the animal, when he's the one that would have to add a chaymish if he redeems it. Umeskaper, the aloch is truma, there's a din of tmura, that one shouldn't, but substitution of one animal for another animal is effective. So somebody designate an animal on my behalf, who's the one that could do tamura? One that has to bring the carbon. Hamaskaper oisa tamura. And the last thing is, v'tari mishalai ashayna shalai, if somebody's taking truma on my behalf, he's the one, tayvus hanah shalai, he's the one that chooses the kayin, and he's the one that receives the tayvus hanah. Says the Ran, we began this piece of Gemara by saying that the pasuk of asa to aser, that says, as kol tefuah as a rechav nasato, seems to indicate that the person that has the obligation. So he says that we have to explain the pasuk differently. We have to explain the pasuk to teach us the one who actually gives the meiser, the one that actually gives the truma, he's the one that has the right to choose which kohen will receive that truma.